Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll talk to Zach Nagy, who covers LSU football, basketball, baseball for Sports Illustrated. Zach, I know you haven't had nothing to do over the last week or so, so we'll bring you on just to kind of give a little update. But, wow, in the last 72 hours, LSU has really been busy in the transfer portal and getting guys that I think five of the seven they have signed were in the top 15 of the transfer portal when they had the list.
Yeah, no, first off, I appreciate you for having me back on, as always, Mike. And the list just keeps on growing. You got the number two cornerback, the number four edge, a top 10 receiver. You name it, they got it. So roughly five of the first seven commits are top 100 players in the portal. Brian Kelly and the rest of the staff are really just working wonders right now. And he said they were going to be really aggressive. He's putting his money where his mouth is, and he's doing it right now. He's really impressing a lot of people and going and getting those immediate impact guys that this program has been looking for.
Zach, one of the things it popped in my head, bringing back Austin Thomas. I know it's not coincidental. This team has put a big emphasis on the transfer portal. Austin was with Coach O for a while and helped recruit that class that eventually ended up winning a national championship. How much impact you think Austin Thomas returning to LSU has had with this team?
Yeah, I don't think the addition of Austin Thomas is talked about enough. And I think you're going to begin to hear his name a little bit more over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months. It's a pivotal addition. We saw him do what he needed to do at Ole Miss and create them into one of those powerhouses in the portal. Fast forward to now with the 2024-2025 offseason, and we're seeing him do it again in Baton Rouge. So he's a pivotal piece. He helps kind of work all the behind-the-scenes action as kind of a general manager type role, and he's showcasing it right now. It's on full display, and it can't be understated just how much he's done for this program.
Now, how do you view what's come about now in college football? I think I was somewhat surprised. He was behind the scenes, but then got to the forefront, Andrew Luck with Stanford. And he's almost like the general manager for Stanford. He's like in charge of the head coach, name, image, and likeness, and everything. And then you look, Belichick going to North Carolina.
He's got Mike Lombardi, a guy I worked with.
Right, he's going to run that like an NFL team. So you think that's where we're going, where it's pay for play? So it is somewhat like pro football. I want you to comment on that. And if you think a different university might take the approach like Stanford or maybe what North Carolina is doing. And but how about, okay, how is the fan base going to be? And they might be all in, okay, I'm willing to name them to likeness, I'm willing to participate. But Ole Miss, you know, they all the money they put up, you know, they thought they were going to be in the playoffs, and they're not. So what if all of a sudden you're putting up the money and you're not getting the production?
That falls on the head coach.
You think you're going to have disgruntled fans and all that, and then all of a sudden it goes, oh, well, I'm not giving that until we win. So it's kind of a catch-22 with when you look at that. But obviously, if you're winning, then people don't have a problem maybe participating. But if you're not winning, go like, well, why am I giving all this money? Just comment on that. I know that's a broad statement.
Yeah, no, Bobby. I think it's a really good question. And I think you kind of sit back and look at these new, like, general manager type roles. And you're looking at a salary cap now. And I know that you guys are very, very aware of how that works at the next level. And you're going to start to see it come more into effect in the college game as well with revenue sharing in the mix. You're going to begin to kind of have to work with this set amount of money and try to rebuild and construct a roster from there. So it's an interesting dynamic in that point. And then, of course, you look at NIL and you look at Bayou Traditions and the collective and the money that fans can give, et cetera, that go towards building a roster. It's an interesting time. And I think you are kind of hitting the nail on the head there where, look, if a team's not winning, you're not going to want to put money towards a team that's not winning. Or you can look at it in the other perspective and say, well, look, my team's struggling right now. I can put up some money and really help them build a roster. And that's kind of what we're seeing with Brian Kelly and LSU right now, who's really transparent on National Signing Day, talked about what they needed to do, talked about the money that they needed in order to rebuild the roster. He talked about how relationships were one thing, but you can have a relationship for so long and then have a team come in the 11th hour and give millions of dollars like we saw with Bryce Underwood, Cade Phillips, et cetera. It's no longer all about relationships. It's about money as well. And Bobby, like you said right there, money comes into the mix as well, and that's where fans come in and can kind of help out with this program in order to continue recruiting at a high level.
Zach, two guys I'll get your take on. I saw him play at Kentucky, Barry and Brown. Speed's never had a bad day in its life, and he got it. As a receiver to return, man, your thoughts on Barry and Brown, and also the cornerback that they got a commitment from, I think, mid-afternoon, Mansour. I think it's Delane is how you say the last name. The cornerback from Virginia Tech, he's played 3 years at Virginia Tech, and Mansour, man, he's had 6 interceptions, but 4 of them came this year. So your thoughts, I think those two guys can step in and be immediate players. I'm talking about starting players at LSU.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look at a guy like Barry and Brown, that's an instant impact receiver, a wide receiver one type guy that you're looking at. Like you said, speed obviously doesn't have a bad day, and he's kind of lightning in a bottle. He leads the SEC all time in returning touchdowns with 5 as a kick returner. So this is a guy who's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He can come in and become a fantastic receiver, but he can also kind of make an impact as a return specialist as well. We obviously have Xavion Thomas, Aaron Anderson, et cetera. But now you add a third guy in the mix, and it just makes you even more impactful in the special teams game, which is a spot that you've seen LSU struggle from time and time again during the Brian Kelly era. So Barry and Brown is a Swiss Army knife who can come in and really impact the game in a myriad of ways. And then you look at Mansour Delane. This is a guy with double-digit pass breakups. Like you said, 6 interceptions, 146 tackles on his career. So he's had a stellar 3-year career with the Hokies of Virginia Tech. Now you fast forward and he can level up, get to the SEC. This is an instant impact guy. And he can get in the defensive backfield in multiple spots. This isn't just a cornerback. Despite being the number 2 rated cornerback in the portal, I mean, he can really come in here and really be used in a lot of different spots in the defensive backfield. So Corey Raymond put on his recruiting cap, had him come in this weekend, was in on Sunday, and really just didn't let him leave until he committed. And ultimately today he went public with a decision. And that's about as big of an addition as it gets for this program. So Barry and Brown, Mansour Delane, those are the two big ones so far.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships. And that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
The tight end, Bauer Sharp, I was telling Bob, first time I saw him, he was at Southeastern. I knew he was a former quarterback. They had transferred him to play tight end. He did a really good job for the Lions. Then he goes 1 year to Oklahoma, and now he's with LSU. He led the Sooners in catches this year with 42. I'll get your thoughts on Sharp and also Jack Pyburn from Florida, who last year, man, coming off the edge, he's a good-looking athlete that knows how to get off bigger blockers. He's got good closing speed to the quarterback. Your thoughts on Pyburn and also Bauer Sharp, the tight end, formerly at Southeastern, OU, and now a Tiger.
Yeah, Mike, starting off with Bauer Sharp, this is a guy who can be an impactful piece, kind of using his versatility. He can help in the run block, but he can also use his hands as well. Like you alluded to, he led the Sooners in receptions on the year. He was a fantastic piece in that regard to a struggling Oklahoma squad, of course, but nonetheless, he was an impactful piece. But Brian Kelly talked a lot about his physicality and how he can help in the run block game. Obviously, we saw that piece of LSU's offense struggle in a really big way in 2024. You throw in Bauer Sharp as a guy who can come in, be kind of utilized in a couple different ways, really have him come in there and shine as a run blocker. That's what LSU needs. That's why Brian Kelly went and got him. You'll likely see the program go out and get another tight end as well on top of Bauer Sharp. And then you look at the other addition in Jack Pyburn, Florida edge rusher, who really had his coming out party this year with 60 tackles, et cetera. I mean, he was fantastic coming off the edge. He's quick, he's twitchy, he's energetic, and he comes in as a guy who can start on day one as an edge rusher. You lose Braden Swinson, you lose Savion Jones, you got to go out and get some edge rushers. Brian Kelly and the staff have done just that with Jamari Butler and now Jack Pyburn. They're really, really filling a lot of holes, and those two guys are some pivotal pieces in this class so far.
Well, I'm hearing you and Mike talk about a bunch of different players. What about the damn O-line? I don't know. I'm kind of worried about the offensive line. Is that?
You know, I think that's an area they're going to hit too, Bob.
No, because fans tell me.
Guy that's played center before.
Because you look at both the tackles are going pro, right? And then the center also. What's y'all take on the O-line?
Move DJ back to guard and get you a guy that's played center.
Okay.
I don't know how Zach feels, but that's my thought.
You're spot on. And not to interrupt you guys at all, but, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head right there as well. You need some offensive linemen. You're losing four starters. Garrett Dellinger, Miles Frazier going pro. Will Campbell, Emory Jones foregoing their final seasons of eligibility and going pro. Your only returning piece you got is DJ Chester at the center position, who was honestly and obviously your weakest link up front. So, like Mike said, he's spot on. You slide him over back to his natural position of guard. You go out and get a center in the portal, and all eyes shift to Virginia Tech center, Braylon Moore. This is a guy who has ACC experience with Virginia Tech. We obviously saw his teammate commit to the program today. I think all eyes turn to Braylon Moore to see if he'll commit to the program. He's a guy who was in town on a visit. LSU's really turning up the heat for him. But, Bobby, you're spot on there as well. You got to go get some help, go get some depth at the offensive line position, specifically at the interior offensive line position, and that's definitely a spot that they're kind of honing in on right now.
Zach, a final question for you. I didn't know that they could land Barry and Brown. I'll be honest. They had a host of teams looking for him. The one guy that stuck out to me, Nick Anderson at Oklahoma, and I look at his body of work. He's a big, tall receiver. He's got some speed. He got hurt early in the season and then basically missed about 80% of the season. But as a freshman, he was really impressive, and he's got speed. And he's got some size, and he can get downfield. What's the chances of LSU landing Nick Anderson?
Yeah, Nick Anderson's the full package, Mike. This is a guy really broke the record at Oklahoma as a true freshman for receptions, touchdowns, you name it. 38 catches, nearly 800 yards, 10 tutties. He was fantastic as a redshirt freshman in 2023. And now you're starting to see LSU turn up the heat for him. He's in the portal. There are a lot of suitors, Texas A&M, LSU, et cetera. Everybody's swinging for the fences here, but when it comes down to it, it seems like LSU's got the edge here. We'll see what happens down the stretch, but LSU has really positioned themselves well for Nick Anderson out of Oklahoma. We were talking about a speedster in Barry and Brown. You got a speedster in Aaron Anderson, Xavion Thomas. You got to go get that tall possession receiver, that physical receiver. Nick Anderson fits the mold. We'll see what they do, but that's a 6'4 giant who can go up and get it. We'll see if LSU can seal the deal there, but they very well position themselves for him.
Zach, I got a feeling that you and I are going to talk again this week. So I appreciate your time tonight, and thanks for all your insights on the new transfer guys going to LSU.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate both you guys. You have a good one.
Thank you. Zach Nagy, who covers LSU for Sports Illustrated, and he ain't getting a lot of sleep, Bob, because, man, they coming in fast and furious, and you think about six guys of the seven have signed in the last – or committed or signed in the last 72 hours.
No, it's going to be, Mike, how the roster changes year to year. I mean, you're going to have to get
you
a
better
program.
Be now, ready for it.
Now, who's this? You're looking at the program. Who's this cat? Look at that guy. I like him.